helping realtors on Vancouver Island stay connected, current, and on the cutting edge. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. Here's your host, Braden Wheatcroft.
All right, good morning, everybody. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Braden Wheatcroft. My apologies for anyone who showed up early and had their popcorn ready to go and was like anxiously waiting for our show to start at 11:15 as province. We've had some technical difficulties, but hey, here we are. We're moving forward. So today we're here to talk with a friend of mine, Darren German. I first met Darren through the Richard Robbins organization. Darren's waving off screen, but people can't see you yet, man. You're behind the curtain. And what we're here to talk about that I think is really an important conversation for us to have is what are some of the new best practices that are rising to the top of the industry since the June 15th deadline has come in? For those of you who haven't been paying attention, maybe you've just come back from a sabbatical, who knows? There's been some significant changes in the way that realtors in the province of British Columbia can now conduct their business. A lot of these changes show up on the disclosure front, disclosure of agency, disclosure of remuneration, and a number of other tweaks. Obviously, the ban on limited dual agency and dual agency transactions. So there's been a lot of changes that have had a pretty significant change in the way that we conduct our business. So with that, with change, there's always going to be opportunity. And one of the things I love about Darren is he's a very optimistic guy. He's a very enthusiastic guy, and he's always looking for the brighter side of things and looking for opportunities. So I'm going to bring Darren on here just momentarily, but just to bring you up to speed with who he is, he was originally licensed in 2007. He's currently a realtor with McDonald Realty in Surrey. He serves the Fraser Valley, and he's actually one of the top 2% agents serving the Fraser Valley in their board area. And he's been very, very involved in the organized side of real estate. He's been on the board of the Fraser Valley Board since 2014 and is actually the current president-elect. So we're very excited. He's got a unique perspective because not only does he look at it from an industry side, but he also sells a lot of real estate. So he has to look at it from a practitioner side as well. So I'm really pumped to have him on. Please join me in welcoming Darren. Darren, my man.
Good morning. How are you doing?
There you are. Now you can wave. Wave for everybody. Hi, Mom.
I hope she's watching.
You know, she might be. So Darren, man, I appreciate you being on. I know you're a busy guy. You were just telling me that you've actually got a coaching call right after this, so you're going from one thing to another. I appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation with me, and I want to just throw a couple disclaimers out there, because we're going to talk about some things that we want to be very careful of. So first off, you are here as a successful realtor, not as a representative of the Fraser Board. Is that correct?
That's absolutely true. Yeah. Today I'm going to share some of my ideas and some of the best practices I've heard. And I'm certainly speaking on behalf of creativity rather than the membership of the Real Estate Board. Absolutely.
On creativity rather than CREA.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Yeah.
Awesome. And then also a disclaimer to cover your butt and my butt as well. Neither of us possess a managing broker's license. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. Any questions that develops out of this, you certainly want to have conversations with your managing broker. They're always your go-to person for any rules or anything in those kind of lines. So yes, absolutely.
Okay. There we go. So we got all that stuff out of the way. Let's jump into it. So you've been in the business a long time. You originally started in 2007. You've had a unique perspective on the changes. Like we've known about these changes now for over a year since that IAG study came out. We knew things were going to be changing. But I'm just curious, in the last 6 months, from your perspective, sitting where you sit in the business, what's your take on all these new changes?
Well, I think the general take on them, Braden, is they're great. It might be a little bit of a different perspective than certainly a lot of people in the industry on the street are feeling. And the reason that might be is just because, I mean, really, nobody likes change, right? Like nobody likes when things get shaken up. And this is one of the biggest shakeups, as you know, that our industry's had in a very long time. But at the end of the day, everything's been designed to protect and educate the consumer more. It's not to say that we weren't doing all these things previously, but they certainly changed the order of operation and how some of those things happen. And it's going to be great because we're going to elevate this profession, which is so cool. We're going to be looked at as more professional, and our clients are going to be very well educated, and they deserve that. And I think it's such a cool opportunity that we have as a profession to really own this and take charge of it.
Yeah, you know, everything. One of the things I always enjoy speaking with you is you always seem to have this optimistic outlook. So, you know, looking at the changes as they've been rolled out and looking a little bit into the future, what do you see as some of the obvious benefits to our industry? Both from a consumer, but I'm also curious because bear in mind, my audience is our Vancouver Island realtors. So, I mean, we obviously really deeply care about what's in the best interest of consumers, but we also we care about our own business and how these impacts have. So I'm just curious from both sides of that perspective.
Yeah. So your question is more so like what kind of impact do you think this is going to have?
Yeah. What do you think the positive impacts? As I say, I really appreciate your optimism. So like, what do you think some of the positive impacts this will have on our businesses?
Well, certainly we're all going to have really good Dropbox accounts. That would be one good way to look at it. We have to figure out a way to manage our storage and our compliance documents quite well. But there's so many positives. Like one thing that I think is really cool is since a lot of these changes came out, and I'm assuming your audience knows about the changes we're discussing. Since these changes came out, the clients that have been having these discussions with these new additional disclosure requirements and whatnot, they've almost had this kind of refreshed take on it. Like, wow, like I really appreciate you telling me these things. It's not that they were wondering. It's not maybe that they were concerned, but it's certainly nice to have these upfront discussions with them. So I think the customer or the consumer is going to appreciate the transparency. I saw a great article the other day that said Canada's now in the top five in the world for transparency in real estate transactions, which is really cool. We certainly don't want to be on the bottom end of that list. So an informed consumer is always, always going to be a good thing. As a professional, yourself, myself, and everybody watching this, it's gonna bring us up. You know, we've always strived to be thought of as like doctors and accountants and all these people that the consumer and the public really trust. And we want to be that. We want to earn the trust of our consumer. And this is another great way that we're able to do that. We're able to have very frank, transparent conversations with people. Not only because we should, but it's also mandated on us to do so. And everyone's going to be smiling because everyone's going to know the rules of the game, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I definitely see the raising of the professionalism happening, assuming that everyone complies, which is always going to be that. I mean, that's always been a challenge and it will always continue to be. But of course, with these new rules, there's also been a lot of changes to penalties and fines and things like that. So hopefully both the carrot and the stick will be effective to get our industry to level up. So here we are. It's July 10th, last I checked, and we're almost 30 days since the new rules came out on June 15th. And I understand that you took it upon yourself to reach out to agents in your network and put together a bit of a survey looking at, you know, the changes, the pain points, but of course the solutions for those pain points. Can you tell us a little bit about the survey, like who was involved in it, how many people, like what was the process, like tell us more about it.
Yeah, so we're both fortunate to be part of an organization, Richard Robbins International, and we've got some of the best and brightest here in BC that are part of that. So what I did is I reached out to the members in the community in British Columbia and had some questions just saying like, look, we've got a big opportunity here. And at the time, it was maybe a little bit more difficult to recognize the opportunity. So I said, let's put our collective minds together. Tell me how you're going to handle this. I'll tell you how I'm going to handle this. Let's share ideas with each other and find the opportunity here. So let's go out, let's educate the consumer, and let's, you know, we're all here to make some money. So let's make some money while helping our consumers. So it was great. We had about 20 people respond through the community and had awesome, awesome ideas. Happy to share some of them, of course, today. And I just thought it was really cool. So they're all waiting to get those results back, which are actually going to go out today as well in a PDF form. But very, very cool. Very awesome answers.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So there was about 20 people that participated.
That's right. Yeah.
That's about, my understanding is about the same sample size the superintendent used to make a lot of these rule changes.
I'm not going to comment on that.
Don't comment. Do not blink. Don't even wink. I'm allowed to say that you aren't. So that's fantastic. And I know one of the things I really enjoy about RRI and just real estate in general is I can't believe how willing to share most agents are. I mean, even just today before this interview, I was at a sales meeting in Nanaimo hosting a panel, three of the agents from the office sharing best practices on shifting markets. So it's really cool when you have that opportunity to tap into the brain trust, especially when you're able to access the level of agents that you've been able to do through the survey. So let's talk more about that. Now, my understanding is you went through a series of questions, very common scenarios that we find ourselves in our day-to-day business. And you basically asked, here's the scenario, here's the potential new challenge as a result of these rule changes. What are your ideas on how to overcome them and whatnot? And I've read through all the answers and, you know, some people are still working through it. And then other people were very deliberate saying, this is how I'm going to do my business now. So do you mind if we just take it from the top and go through each of those questions?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah. So the first one here was talking about the open house scenario. So what can you tell us about this question and the answers that you got from your survey?
Yeah, and just excuse me if I look this way. I'm just kind of reading off my other screen here. So the first question was related to open houses. And so previously, open houses were such a great way to build rapport with people. And, you know, we all know as real estate professionals, it's pretty common that somebody comes into the open house. They're not going to end up buying that house. They're probably going to end up buying something else. And it's usually people maybe a little bit newer going around and checking things before they really get serious about purchasing. So the question really related to, you know, your challenges now that you're only really able to provide factual information before you go into, you know, I've joked that it's a little bit of a rapport killer conversation, pulling out a form and saying, hey, you know, we need to have this discussion before you go any further and start telling me about yourself or I start offering opinions or trading services. So we surveyed the 20 people on that. And it's interesting because I think with all these changes, Braden, if you look at it like an opportunity and you look at it like it's a really cool opportunity to have a discussion with somebody that might not know why it's important to work with a real estate professional. So you imagine what that new disclosure form looks like. And the unrepresented side is pretty scary. You know, I can't imagine ever trying to do surgery on myself or going to court and representing myself, that sort of thing. And buying a home's no different. So what an amazing opportunity for somebody to come in to your open house and provide that factual information, but also have that conversation with them. Have you guys heard about the new rule changes? There's a great document that's available and I'd love to show it to you. And if they choose to be unrepresented, that's a great question to say, well, you know, I'm curious, is there a reason why you would want to remain unrepresented when you've got all these great services that a realtor is able to provide? I have a tough time thinking that many people would balk at that and say, no, I'd much rather just keep on trying to play a realtor as a side job on my own. Thanks.
Well, that's interesting because you talk about being a rapport killer. I hear that. I get that for sure. But you also talk about it's a great platform to build the relationship on. It's a, you know, consumers really should know this stuff and hopefully they'll give us the opportunity to explain it. I'm just curious, do you do open houses in your business?
I do, yes.
Not a lot, but you do some. Like, so how do you see yourself? What I want to know is what's that entry point into the conversation? Because it is, you know, it can be awkward at the best of times to meet strangers and try to build rapport with them. But now we have to be extremely mindful of the agency lines and whether or not we're crossing them. Like, have you put much thought to how you would, someone walks in the front door and then you do this now that's different than before? Like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, one of the biggest things is don't be passive. Don't be that realtor that sits at the kitchen table and just lets people walk through the house because you've got a responsibility to your sellers to protect their stuff anyway. So you should know who's coming into your open house. You should have a discussion about who they are, whether they're sign-in sheet or not. But they also should know your role when you are at that open house. So that's what I say is don't be passive. You know, meet them at the door and explain to them. You know, we saw that great document provided by SnapStats about, yeah, here's kind of the three things you need to know about entering this open house. Take that opportunity to turn it into a discussion and say, hey, if you'd like to talk to me further, and I'd love to talk to you further, we just have to have a quick discussion about this stuff. And it's important for you to understand it. And that's such an empowering thing for them, because they want to know who you work for. They want to know if they tell you stuff, how that information is going to be used. And so don't be passive. Get up there, expect them to sign into your open house. And it's a positive thing, right? You should know who they are when they come in there. And if they were selling their house, they would expect the same thing. So people can appreciate that. And if they don't want to sign in, that's okay. There's probably lots of open houses out there for them right now to go check out, right? It's something we should all be doing.
Yeah. And I really love your approach. Like, it sounds to me like you've said that before. So you've obviously practiced, but it's very non-threatening the way you come about it. So, great work on that. Now, the next scenario that we talked about is following up with leads while staying compliant. So can you give me a little bit more context? Is that like, I had a lead from, say, 6 months ago, pre June 15th, and now we're in a post June 15th system? Or is that just following up with leads in general? Tell me more about that question.
Yeah, the lead follow-up challenge is probably one of the bigger challenges we have. So a lot of real estate professionals probably have a database of people they've been staying in touch with. We all get emails from either past clients or new potential clients that, for lack of a better term, kind of spill their guts to us. There's a thing where we have to try and kind of build rapport over email to try and get together with people. So that's really changed the game. It was an excellent, excellent idea. A lot of people are actually relying on video to accomplish this new disclosure requirement. So again, you got to kind of take the mindset that the public's going to appreciate this. If they're going to tell you all their personal information, they should be curious about how that's going to be used. So there's a really great video. I'll give a shout out to Mark Haslam on the North Shore of Vancouver. Because he's the one that introduced me to this, and I know you saw an example of it just last week or this week. And anyways, what that is really an explanation of the trading services document, how a realtor can represent a client or a client can remain unrepresented. And I think the important thing that people need to wrap their heads around is it's not just about showing them that document. It's about having that conversation. It's about having a conversation so they know exactly what they're getting into when they have a conversation with a real estate professional. So having a simple explainer video that's short, succinct, gets to the point is a really, really good one. And again, just total transparency, being completely honest with people and saying, and there's nothing wrong with saying mandate, the word mandate. You know, I am required to tell you this. It's a great thing for you. I'm going to explain it to you. And should you can choose to have a conversation with me, we both know the rules of the game now. So again, I see it as a huge positive. It definitely changes the way that we're going to follow up on leads. It's going to actually change the habits of the public, and that's going to take some time to catch up. But when everybody's having to play by the same rules, it's a great thing, because those who adopt it and accept it and look for the opportunity are gonna succeed.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think the talking about the word mandate, like my hope is that if enough agents embrace the mindset and the approach you're taking, then if a consumer comes in contact with an agent who maybe isn't complying with the rules, they'll actually wonder, well, why aren't you talking to me about this? The last three open houses I've been through, they've talked about agency and professionalism and whatnot, and you're not. So what's up with that? I'm really hoping that that's where we end up with this really quickly.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's really going to be a cream to the top sort of thing pretty quick. You know, the industry, we had explosive growth over the last couple of years, and things have changed a little bit, and that's going to change the landscape with these new rules as well. I mean, I know I spend a lot of time just trying to stay compliant now. So, and my assistant gets a lot of emails from me now, a lot more than she used to. But again, it's a good thing, because all these people that we're now working with have had these discussions. They know what side I'm on. They know what's happening. And it's just great for the consumer in general.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Would you mind walking us maybe through a simple, common, hypothetical situation? Like you have a listing, an email comes in, an inquiry, you know, a potentially interested party, they just want to know the basics. You know, I want to know what the price is. And my understanding is that you can tell them that's anything that's fact-based. So you share that information with them. And then what commonly happens with these leads is we don't hear anything. Crickets, right? Mm-hmm. So we're trained as an industry to follow up, follow up, follow up. Your question about staying compliant, let's say you had to follow up two or three times. what are you thinking you would do to make sure that you're still towing the line of compliance, but also trying to grow your business?
That's a great question. One of the things, again, is just the conversation in general. Like there's got to be a point, and this is one of those things where you'd want to clarify with your managing broker, but there's got to be a point where you have done your duty and made that disclosure. So whether you receive that lead and you sent them some information, you said, hey, I'd love to chat with you further. Maybe that house wasn't for them as an example. Hey, I'd love to chat with you further about this. And I've attached this great document that every real estate professional in the province is now mandated to have this discussion with you. I'd love for you to take a peek at it and get back to me if you have any questions on it. That's, you know, so we don't have to get into their personal details. We could just talk about the document. We could start building rapport talking about the document that I'm mandated to provide to them. So you could follow up with a video. You could say, hey, I hope you got it. Would love to schedule an appointment with you to sit down and keep kind of going down that road. And there's got to be a point where it's kind of deemed that you have provided the information you need to, because we know that we can put our name on them and send them out to compliance. And it's optional for the public to sign, which is fine, right? So there's a point where I've done my job and now I can try and talk a little bit.
So you've accomplished the disclosure requirement. You've been non-threatening about it. You haven't provided agency advice. And if you wanted to follow up a few times after that, as long as you're not providing agency advice, my understanding is that still would be okay. But of course, everyone go and ask your managing broker that. And I love your idea of the video, because that's a great communication tool. Like we know, we hear this every time we go to an event, like a Richard Robbins event, about how communication is only about, 10% the words we use. The rest is our tone, inflection, and body language. For you to send, I know you use BombBomb, is that correct?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so for you to send a video explaining it without ever being at that risk of them giving too much information to you and now finding yourself an implied agency, they can still build rapport with you without even actually having that two-way conversation.
That's right. Yeah. And one thing I think is kind of cool is you're in a marketplace that's fairly large. I'm in a marketplace that's fairly large. Mm-hmm. I think everybody wants to have a really good think about the dangers of going into implied agency. And actually, I don't even know that I would use the word danger, because if you've had these discussions with people, like myself, for instance, if I go into a listing presentation, I've had the disclosure discussion, and I start doing things that might be deemed to be implied agency. If I don't get that listing for some reason, which is obviously rare, I mean, I'm awesome. No, I'm just kidding. But if I don't get that,
we're going to edit that part out.
We're going to edit that. Let's say I don't get that listing for some reason, right? Same as in your marketplace.
Just for the record, you are awesome.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Let's say I don't get the listing for whatever reason. The chances of me ever coming back to that listing with a buyer are pretty slim, right? The chances of a buyer ever wanting to buy my listing, we all know, is pretty slim. So I'm okay going into implied agency in some instances. There's also a document where you can remove yourself from agency, kind of like the limited dual thing. But there is a document that if I went into implied agency with a seller and I did have a buyer that I wanted to come back and I didn't get that listing, but I had a buyer that wanted to purchase it, I can get the seller to sign off and say, yeah, no problem. You can still bring your client here. I'm going to recuse my duties or my agency to you and just work for the buyer. And I just can't tell them anything about the seller. So there's solutions around all this stuff. And I think you just want to have a good think about what you've been told and what's really correct.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of rumors flying around out there about this stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that single recusal form, I mean, I've reviewed it a number of times. I mean, there is certainly, a risk factor, because you could find yourself in a dual recusal piece. But, you know, I think a well explained process, and if you have genuine good intentions, I like to think more often than not, it's going to work the way it's designed.
And that's a great comment. That's a discussion that you should be having with your sellers and letting them make the decision when you're taking the listing. So this is what could happen. Like it could happen. One of my buyers could say, I want to buy your listing. Well, why don't we deal with that up front before everyone's excited? And you know, there's all this craziness going on with what is in the offer presentation. Let's talk about that now. Let's talk about what's going to happen with that, how we're going to deal with it, whose side I would go on, if any, and just make sure everyone's nice and comfortable. So when you do set the stage for what could happen, when it does happen, everyone's a lot more comfortable and they're a lot more comfortable dealing with it appropriately.
Absolutely. Now, you talk a lot about doing business by referral. I know that's a big driver of your business, and we talk about the lifetime referral system a lot. And we just came back from an event in Vancouver where it was almost like it's like the renaissance of database marketing, because some of these other methods that can be effective are a little bit more challenging. Not impossible, but just a little bit more challenging with these new rules. But we do also have to be mindful of how we market to our database. So can you tell us, one of the questions that you had was pertaining to not following up with leads of people you don't know, but was actually staying in touch and engaging with your past clients. Can you give us the framework of the question and what were some of the best answers you got?
Yeah, well, Braden, like how often did you used to get a comment from a question from a past client, and they want to know your opinion on something? What's the most famous question we get? How's the market? Now my answer to the general public is, well, statistically speaking, the HPI went, boring answer, right? They want to know what we think is going to happen, especially right now. So past clients, that's a super common thing. But what if we looked at it from the most perfect opportunity to call our entire database? We know how important that is. We know that we can get amazing returns from our database in terms of their support, helping us grow our business. What if we use that as an opportunity where I'm going to call my entire database and have that discussion with them and tell them about the changes, because they're relevant. You know, when they maybe go start looking for a house down the road, they're going to run into this and they're going to be like, what is going on, right? So why not get ahead of it, call them ahead of time and say, hey, this is all this kind of stuff that's going on. And you know what? I would love to give you an opinion whenever you need it. I'd love to give you help. I'd love to answer questions, all that kind of thing. But for me to do that now, we do have to have this discussion, and I would need to provide this document to you. We can do that right now if you want. It doesn't commit you to working with me in the future. You know, I don't want you to be concerned about that. Obviously, we'd like to. But it's just to allow us to have frank discussions and me offer opinions and whatnot. So that's gone over really well. People at first, the order of operation, they've kind of gone, oh, wow, like that's new. And, it's a little intimidating sometimes to sign some stuff and right up front. But when you explain it, that it's for their best interest, for their protection, they understand who you're working for, and they love it. They absolutely love it. And so we can use this as an opportunity to call absolutely everybody we know, have a discussion about real estate. And do you think if you called 200 people and had the discussion with them, some of them might put their hand up and say, actually, I was thinking of selling in the fall. That's crazy you called.
Yeah, it is funny. We're always looking for reasons to reach out to people, right? Like to be, and especially not just to call and say, hey, got a referral for me? I mean, that's what we're trying to avoid. We're always trying to give more value than we take in any interaction we have with someone. So this is a great opportunity to go on offense and educate your clients. I'm just curious from how you continue to market your database. Are you thinking about making any tweaks or modifications to the language? I'm throwing you a little bit of an off-script question here, Darren. I hope that's okay. But I've heard concerns about people continuing to be an implied agency because of the way their newsletter is worded, you know, or things like that. Like, have you put any mind to that as far as how you would maybe change the way you're engaging with people continually after the sale?
I'll throw it back to you, or maybe kind of a hypothetical thing that everyone could think about that's watching this is, you should have a very good understanding about terms that we use in our industry. And some of those terms are things like trading services. Another term would be implied agency. I think you really have to consider what the definition of an implied agent is when you're making those decisions, because a lot of people think agency continues on after the transaction, which as far as I understand does not. And again, check with your managing broker, of course, on that. But you know certain things about this client. However, let's say fast forward 10 years, they want to buy one of your listings. Was any of that relevant to today's sale? So you've really got to understand those and make decisions that you feel very confident that there's no conflict. You're not stepping outside of the very the kind of gray lines that we have, but really understand things like implied agency and whatnot. Have those discussions with your managing broker. I don't plan to change a lot about what I do because I'm not so worried about it, to tell you the truth. So if that's more of a direct answer to your question, but really understand those.
Well, as usual, I love your attitude. on this. So let's talk about a couple more hypothetical situations. So I want to be mindful of, you've got a coaching call coming up in 12 minutes from now. So we want to make sure that you're available for that. So let's talk about fielding calls from advertising. So, you know, the classic, hey, Darren, I'm sitting outside your house for sale. I see your name on it. I just called you, blah, 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 blah. You asked a question to the group about that scenario. What did you learn in the responses back from them?
So there were some great ideas about how to deal with that. There's an idea that if you have an assistant, your assistant could take your phone calls, the email. They could send out the disclosure prior to you returning that phone call, so you can ask them about that as you're taking, as you're following up on the call. Remember, we still can answer factual information. So if somebody has lots of questions about a listing and they choose they want to see it, no problem. That's probably a discussion you should have with your seller about how they want to handle sign calls from now on, because of course you could send them off to another agent in your office. You could still choose to take them. You just have to be aware that there's the potential for the recusal. So one of my practices that I'm doing in my business is, Braden, if you call me on one of my listings in a very friendly manner, Braden, do you have a real estate professional? And if not, I'm going to send you this document, the representation of trading services document. And my expectation is I do need this signed prior to me showing you the home. That's the seller's expectation as well. So whether we do it online or we show up at the house, I do need that before I'm going to let you in the door. Are we both comfortable with that? They're going to say yes, typically, because they're going to want to get in the home. So my practice is I'm going to get that signed prior to, I'm going to show them the house. If they like it, hey, great. You know, here's the things I can help you with this home. If they don't like it, what a cool opportunity again to say, can I ask you why you see benefit in not having representation? What a cool opportunity to set up an appointment.
That is a great question. Can you just say that one more time?
Yeah. Can I ask you why you feel that you can do this without representation? Like, what is the upside to doing it on your own, right? And what an awesome opportunity to get them into your office and have an agency discussion, have a discussion about all the things you can offer them and what you can do for them. And then that way you kind of avoid yourself being recused from your listing. And you have a really great opportunity to have that discussion and pick up a potentially new client out of it as well.
And I just want to circle back to what you talked about, basically saying, listen, I would love to show you this home. I have to send you this form ahead of time. I do require that it's signed. Now, my understanding is it's not a requirement, but am I hearing you correctly that you've just decided in your business that it will be? Or do That's I have it wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. It is an optional form to sign. My practice will be that you do sign it. So if a lead calls on one of my listings, I certainly don't want to be recused from one of my listings. Again, this is a discussion you should be having with your seller because it's really up to them. But I think most sellers would agree that they've hired you. They want you to represent them. Yeah. So it's a pretty easy conversation. You know, I'd love you to bring in a realtor if you'd like to have one accompany you. But if you choose to be unrepresented, the requirement, my requirement, I wouldn't say my requirement, it's just the requirement, is that this form is signed as a unrepresented party. You know who I work for, and we'll go ahead and show you the home. And truthfully, if somebody wants to see the home and refuses to sign it when I show up, that's okay. That's their decision. But my practice will be to hop back in my car and take off because I'm not interested in being recused from my own listing.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Okay, let's. So this question was clearly designed to ask a guy like you. What is the greatest opportunity arising from the changes?
I think if you talk to most members of the public, I think they're all going to agree that it's refreshing that they are being told what they always should have been told right up front. If you look at the Canadian Real Estate Associations, I think it's in their bylaws or their rules. I can't remember exactly where, but the working with a realtor document and the discussion about who we work for was always supposed to happen in this manner. It's just most of us were probably practicing it in the wrong order of operations. So what a great thing to know what you're getting into before you start blabbing away, you know, hey, Braden, I gotta move. I gotta be in by August. We've got 9 kids and 4 bedrooms where we are. Like, we gotta find a new house, right? And you're like, well, geez, I got a 9-bedroom house right here that's vacant. You can get in. It's perfect, right? what an awesome thing for me to know as a consumer that you're not there for me necessarily. You're working for your seller, so I can be a little more reserved with what I choose to share, because that's important to me as a consumer. That's my right. And I just think it's such an awesome thing to absolutely elevate our industry, have these discussions up front with people, and really, really just bring us to those professionals. You see my little realtor pin right here. We should all be really damn proud to be able to don that. And it's so good for our industry. And when you adopt the attitude and the mindset of that, it feels really good. Don't fight it. Like, the change is here. It's not happening. It's happened. This is the new landscape. Let's embrace it as a community. Let's make it great for everybody, including the consumer, and let's own it. Let's bring this up. It's great.
That's a powerful way to end this, man. I really appreciate it. You know, I hear what you're saying. The agency hasn't changed. It's how we operate with agency and our disclosure requirements that has changed. And you know, I've said over the last month or two, as I've been reflecting on these changes, that I believe that compliance, because you said working with a realtor, we were required or expected to introduce it up front, but we all know in practice it was introduced typically while we were writing the offer. So I do think compliance is going to go from 15-20% probably to 80-85%. And a year from now, the superintendent and council will be patting themselves on the back for a job well done, because I do think they will make this industry more professional. My biggest complaint about this whole process is just the lack of training and process to leading up to the change. And, you know, that is what it is. But thanks to people like yourself for helping us, you know, charge ahead with best practices, I think we're going to be in great hands going forward. So thanks for everything, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You're doing a really cool thing here in servicing the realtors of the island and all across BC very well. So I hope everyone's very appreciative of the time that you put into this.
Because thanks, man. Actually, I do have one last question. Who's Debbie German?
It's my mom. Is she watching?
She's been our number one viewer the whole way through. So big shout out to Debbie German. Thank you so much. You can actually say hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
All right, man. Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to chatting with you soon.
Yeah, it sounds good. I appreciate it. Thanks. Have a good day, everybody.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
All right. There you go. There's Darren German and Debbie German on the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show, talking about ways that we can level up the best practices and the professionalism of our industry in a post-June 15th world. So I hope you got value from that. I really enjoyed my conversation. As a fun side note, this is my first interview with my new stand-up desk, and I feel so much more energetic. So hopefully you felt that through the live stream as well. So looking forward to chatting with you guys next week. Haven't hammered down the exact details yet. My people are talking to his people trying to book it, but I have a Vancouver Lower Mainland managing broker of a very successful REMAX office coming on, hopefully to talk about what his perspective is on the post-June 15th world. And I'm looking forward to bringing that to you next week. So stay tuned for that. Thank you so much for all the support. I really appreciate you guys watching, and have a great rest of your day. Bye for now.